As the son of a Swiss Calvinist minister, Franck Martin grew up in an intensely religious atmosphere, and religion came to play an important role in much of his music, be it in a highly individual way. Religion for Martin was not just an attitude to life, but a profoundly emotional drive, which stayed with him throughout his life. His religious compositions were never liturgically motivated. They were not intended to involve a congregation in the celebration of some church ritual. Their purpose, instead, was to get the listener to share in the composer's personal religious experience. That from notes for this recording by Case Vissa. Sharing in the composer's experience, sometimes an experience of joy, at other times an experience of dismay, perhaps. And when a skilled programmer is at work selecting pieces of music for a concert, we can celebrate the amazing range of our human experience, piece after piece, building to an overall range of experiences in that music. And Dr. Rick Hoffenberg is such a programmer. He is Associate Professor of Choral Conducting and Co-Chair of the Department of Music, Theater, and Dance at Marywood University in Scranton, and the Music Director and Conductor of the Marywood Choral Ensembles. Dr. Hoffenberg paid a visit to the WVIA studios to invite us to a range of musical experiences for the holiday season.
I am very lucky to be able to work with both a small choir at Marywood, our chamber singers. We go on tour every year, we record CDs, and we challenge the students with difficult music, largely a cappella, but sometimes collaborating with instruments. And then our larger choir, the concert choirs of a size, over 100 singers, were able to do everything from a cappella music to works with orchestras, both Marywood orchestras and Northeast Pennsylvania Philharmonic, Wyoming Seminary Civic Orchestra. And certainly fun for me, and hopefully a good experience, not only for the students in the group, but in that choir, our very skilled community members, a few faculty members as well. So it's a wonderful mixed ensemble.
It seems that when you put together a holiday program, you want to give us wonderful pieces we are familiar with, but you also want to expose us to pieces that are delightful and we may not know.
Well, I'm thrilled that that's your impression, because we do get some really dedicated concertgoers and advocates of choral music in our audiences. And I want everyone to be able to come and say, wow, I've never heard that before. Or that's a nice little piece. I didn't know that composer. I'm going to check him or her out and get to know more about the music. At the same time, I want people to know that for our Christmas concert, they will get to hear some carols, some lighter things. So we present a range of music, but hopefully appropriate to the season as well.
There's a pair of concerts in the offing.
Well, our first performance will be this Sunday, December 2nd, at 2 o'clock in the Marian Chapel, our annual Chamber Singers Christmas concert. And the featured piece on the program is the Mass for Double Choir a cappella by Franck Martin, which is considered by choral musicians really one of the masterpieces in the repertoire, a gem of a setting that Martin did not write for public performance. It's amazing studying the score and hearing just the unique and extraordinary beauty of the piece, that he wrote it as he said, a personal statement to God, a personal tribute to God. And he wrote the first four movements in 1922 and then the Agnus Dei in 1926 and stuck it in a drawer and pretty much forgot about it. And then about 40 years later, in the early 60s, a conductor by the name of Franz Brunert discovered in a catalog listing of Martin's works a listing for a mass for a cappella choir. And he was intrigued and he asked the composer, now a much older man, what is this Mass for a cappella chorus? And Martin himself dug it out, hadn't thought about it in decades, And Brunert immediately recognized that this was an incredible piece of music and arranged a performance. And in the half century since then, it's become an aspirational piece for a lot of choirs. Westminster Choir toured with it last year, and there are many, many recordings, very fine recordings of it. It really tests a choir not only for the virtuosity, but the need for really perfect blend and intonation and stamina. And he didn't write it necessarily with practicalities in mind. Very wide ranges, very difficult writing, but boy, is it worth the effort. Just incredible. So that's a pretty big undertaking. And then the second half, we'll do some lighter music. The connecting thread on the second half of our program is actually composers who passed away recently. And even though there's an aspect of that that's sad, it's music, I think, that pays tribute to composers who have recently left us within the last 5 years. And some beautiful carols, a piece by Conrad Souza that incorporates a carol into a broader context. It starts out with a beautiful original setting for piano and chorus, and then carolers come in the middle, and somehow he weaves the fabric together. So you have two choirs singing at the same time. It's very cleverly written and just ends very tranquilly and beautifully. And we'll be doing a few carols by Wilcox. David Wilcox was a renowned British composer and conductor, probably best known for his Carols for Choirs series, which many, not only conductors, but many avocational singers have used on many occasions for their caroling. So we'll pay tribute to him as well. And some other wonderful composers, Stephen Stuckey, who left us much too soon, Stephen Paulus, great composer, Minnesota-based, and popular composer of operas, choral music, and much else, and sadly had a stroke and died from complications from it. But wonderful music, and I want to make sure that these are composers who are known and not forgotten.
What's the setting for the performance?
So we do our Christmas concerts in the Marian Chapel at Marywood, and I love many things about it. The visual beauty, for people who haven't seen it, it's an octagonal back of the venue, and there's a stained glass window at the back, and it's just wonderful when you watch groups perform in there to have that backdrop. Different times of day, the light comes in different ways, and it's very beautiful. The size is really good for intimate music making. It seats about 150 to 200 people, and the acoustics are very balanced as well. There's enough reverberation that it's very friendly to choral music, but not so much that you can't perform very active, fast-moving music. There's still enough clarity in there, so it works very nicely. So then the week after that, after we catch our breath from that concert, the larger choir, Concert Choir, will perform on Saturday, December 8th. It's at 7:30 p.m., and that's in our large auditorium at the Setlever Geta Center. And for that program, we're going to be collaborating with the String Ensemble at Marywood, a really fine ensemble run by two extraordinary musicians, Sophie Till and Christiana Oppenheimer-Weide, violinist and cellist, respectively. And I'm sure many of your listeners are very familiar with their music making, two of the really the best musicians in this area you're liable to find. And they lead this ensemble into a really crack group of musicians. And so it's a pleasure to perform with them. We're going to do a program of British music for chorus and strings, featuring one piece in particular I have wanted to do for many years, and that is Gerald Finzi's In Terra Pax. And a wonderful setting for baritone and soprano soloists and choir and strings. It's a great setting of the nativity story. And Gerald Finzi is one of my favorite 20th century composers to begin with. Really writes beautifully melancholic music. I mean, he himself, he saw a lot of tragedy at a young age. I mean, by the time he was 18, he had lost his father, his three older brothers, and his beloved music teacher. And I think you hear, even in his uplifting music, maybe a little tinge of sadness that's really very touching. But a wonderful melodist. He wrote some of my all-time favorite song cycles, in addition to a lot of other music. So we'll be doing that. We're doing a piece by Gustav Holst, a setting of two psalms, which will include a couple of very familiar melodies. If people know the tune for All Creatures of Our God and King, Holst uses that as the basis of the second of the two hymns, and he writes it as a wonderful fantasia for the chorus. He starts very simply, then elaborates, and then it comes back in this glorious and richly harmonized version. So that will end our concert. In the middle, one of the pieces we're performing is by a contemporary composer by the name of Cecilia McDowell, again, a British composer. She wrote a lovely setting of the Ave Maria Stella text. And unlike other settings of this text, it also brings in psalm settings. So people who are familiar with other Ave Maria Stella settings will hear new text and a really wide variety of stylistic approaches, you might say. The middle section is quite animated and fiery, and the outside sections very tranquil, maybe reminiscent of Morten Lauridsen in that sort of style. Very easy to listen to, very beautifully written. So I'm happy to feature her music. The piece is particularly poignant because when she wrote it in 2001, it was right on the heels of the September 11th attacks. And when that happened, it really made her even more resolved to compose this paean to peace. And then there, also on the program, I don't want to forget to mention John Ireland's Downland Suite, which does not involve the chorus. The chorus will take a little break there. It'll allow the string orchestra to just be featured and do that wonderful set of four short movements, originally written for brass, but then arranged. John Ireland himself arranged two of the movements for strings, and the other two were arranged for strings after his passing. And it really works very, very well for strings.
You're giving us a program that's not just varied in texture and tempo, but also in mood.
One of the things I like to invest into any program, even one around Christmas time or Advent, which should be a joyous season, I think exploring a range of emotions is always appropriate. I mean, as we learned from Shakespeare, the great tragedies have comedy, and all the great comedies have moments of tragedy as well. So I hope people will come away uplifted, but also having experienced a range of emotions, as I think we all do over the holiday season.
Dr. Rick Poffenberg, Associate Professor of Choral Conducting and Co-Chair of the Department of Music, Theater, and Dance at Marywood University in Scranton. He is Music Director and Conductor of the Marywood Choral Ensembles, and he spoke with us about the upcoming performances for the holiday. The Marywood University Chamber Singers performing Sunday, December 2nd, this Sunday at 2 in the afternoon at the Marian Chapel at the university, and the featured work will be this piece, the Mass for Double Choir a Cappella by Franck Martin. This, the opening of the Mass for Double Choir a Cappella by Swiss composer Franck Martin. the featured work on the Marywood University Chambers Singers Program, this Sunday, December 2nd at 2 in the afternoon in the Marian Chapel at Marywood. Admission is free. And then the next performance will be Saturday, December 8th at 7:30 p.m. at the Set Laver Guetta Auditorium at Marywood, the Marywood University Concert Choir under the direction of Dr. Rick Hoffenberg and the Marywood University String Ensemble directed by Sophie Till and Christiana Oppenheimer-Vida, joining forces to present a concert of British music for choir and strings. Gerald Finzi's In Terra Pax, two psalms by Gustav Holst, and John Ireland's A Downland Suite. Admission is free. For more information about these performances, on the web, marywood.edu, marywood.edu.